You remember from Hanoi? Yes. And this is a new friend, Liu Yuan, from Beijing. We've just been having a discussion about present moment realities. She is used to a meditation practice in the Goenka method. We were discussing the benefits of understanding the Buddha's teaching rather than trying to practice without a proper understanding.
So what's your question?
I don't have a question.
Oh, okay.
I thought you'd have a question.
I have lots of questions, but my questions are generally ego ones, so I'll keep quiet for the moment.
Maybe I can put it this way, Achan. How should someone who is new to Dhamma approach when he hears that the Buddha taught the Dhamma? What should be the first thing for a new person? What should he be doing? I mean, should he be listening or should he be doing something else?
I think that the most important thing is, what is your purpose? To understand the truth or just to follow what someone would say? To understand the truth of whatever appears now, which is real at this moment, or do you just want to follow the word without understanding? Because just the word can be read, can be taught, but what about the understanding? It has to be right consideration about the meaning of that word. For example, the truth. What is the truth? Is there any truth now? And anyone would like to know, understand the truth, or just leave it. Don't mind it. Just want something instead of understanding the truth of this very moment. So the most important thing is whether there is the understanding or interest of the truth or not. Or what is the purpose of hearing or doing something? What for example, why are we here? What for? To understand the truth, to understand our life, to understand whatever appears at any moment, or just to want something, not now. Just to follow the word, not understanding the reality or the truth of this very moment. It depends.
If somebody isn't interested to understand...
And did the Buddha give any words to...
Should we use the word Buddha or just the truth?
If somebody isn't interested in understanding the truth, can we encourage them by saying that the life is, for example, very fragile, that it can change, that it can so easily turn to suffering?
I think that there must be the clear understanding from the very beginning. For example, what is the truth? Is there any truth? Or where is the truth? What is the truth? Is there any truth? Or a lie?
You mentioned yesterday that realities work by themselves. They're not self. They arise by conditions. And it's not a matter of us, what we can do to have understanding, but it's a matter that the Buddha's word conditions that understanding.
There is seeing right now, there's hearing right now, there's thinking right now. Are they true? Or just nothing?
But the reality of seeing doesn't appear now. It's not understood.
But let us go step by step. Like, for example, is the seeing right now?
Yes.
To understand the truth. Does it arise? Or hasn't it arisen already? Otherwise, there will never be seeing if it does not arise at all. Is this true? Who make it arise? Who can make it arise? And who can change it from seeing to thinking? Or to hardness, or to anything, or understand seeing as no one can do anything because it's there, and it's not me or I who see at all. If it doesn't arise, where's the I, or the idea of I? But whenever whatever is there, ignorance cannot understand how come to be seeing just arise. Or there are conditions or something which it has to arise to see. When there are right conditions for seeing to arise, it has to arise. No one can stop seeing right now. Who can stop seeing right now? See, is this the truth? So one knows that even seeing is not known of its nature as it is conditioned reality, just to arise to see, that's all.
If the understanding of seeing isn't known now, that characteristic, mm-hmm. is that because our understanding... The intellectual understanding isn't sharp enough to condition the understanding of seeing now, or is it because it hasn't, the understanding of reality hasn't been developed enough?
It's not sharp because it does know the worth of understand whatever appears, because life is different moments of the appearance of this or that all the time in one's life from birth up to now, and no understanding of all of these, and try or want to have something instead of understanding the moment which has risen, and actually it's gone completely. No understanding at all. What is left is already wrong understanding, wrong idea that it's me or I who see whatever belongs to me. That's wrong, because nothing can belong to anyone at all, because its nature is arising by conditions and falling away instantly, very, very rapidly. That's all. That's why there is different moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, not same moment at all. By conditions. And this is life. What is birth? If there is no arising of the that which experiences and that which cannot experience, like now, every moment is like now. Seeing now is seeing when one was young, seeing years ago, 100,000 years ago. Everything is conditioned to be such. Better than not understanding that now there's no self, there's no permanent I at all, and nothing can belong to anyone, because actually they are different realities, only that arising and falling away all the time, unknowingly. And no one can stop the arising of anything which is conditioned to arise. Like now, just like now.
So, when you said that the word of the Buddha conditions the right understanding of reality, is there a particular words that condition such understanding?
The word represents the truth.
The Buddha's teaching is very wide, 82,000.
Each word represents the truth, mm-hmm. of realities, like seeing, hearing. It's common. Hearing is hearing, seeing is hearing. But what is the Buddha's words about seeing and hearing? Different from the others, because it gives birth to understanding. While the other words, like my seeing, how's about the doctor who can understand more about seeing, or that which is seen, so on, or different books, but not the truth, the absolute truth, which is covered for years or birth so long, long time ago, many, many years ago. It's covered up. Now we're talking that which is not known at all, about seeing, thinking, liking, wishing, wanting, going somewhere, even to meditation center. No understanding. What is there?
And just to be clear, it's the consideration and understanding of those words which leads to
more understanding, because just the words themselves on the page, a child may see or read the words, but if there's no careful consideration or no understanding, the words themselves don't condition any understanding. So it's a reflection on the meaning of the words that conditions the understanding. So the same words may, if there's no understanding, there may be wrong attention and just the idea of I can do and I should follow, or I should close my eyes, I should go to the forest. All those same words can be read with careful consideration about dhammas, which are anatta, not any rule to follow. Otherwise we think it's just if one reads those words that's enough, but it's not enough.
So Achan, what I'm hearing is that it all depends on past accumulations of understanding, hearing the truth, because nobody knows the truth before they hear the Buddha. It's only after this hearing the Dhamma can anyone have an idea of what the truth is. Otherwise, it's just an idea with no understanding. So if there's past accumulations of understanding and one hears the teachings, that's what can condition right understanding. Whenever, I mean, the first time or now, it's because of past accumulated understanding.
Of a moment ago can be past. It depends on right attention, right considering. Because can anyone make anything arise? Everything now has arisen by conditions, but no understanding of conditions of the realities arising at all. So when one goes to meditation center, is there any understanding of anything? One thing about to do to make it arise, but no one can make anything arise at all. So what about that which is now appear? It can be understood. It can be studied carefully to have less and less attachment to the idea of I can do, or it's me, or it's I, which is wrong. Wanting to do, wanting to have, wanting to make is wrong, because it's impossible to have it done or to have it made by just one wishes. Sitting. Now we are sitting. What about right understanding? Try to have what? Instead of listening to the words that talk about realities to be known as it is. And we know that there is only one person in the whole universal or whatever that is Buddha. That person is Buddha. By listening and understanding the teach. Before hearing the teachings, we just have heard the word Buddha, the enlightened one. But that doesn't bring about any understanding of his wisdom at all. But from hearing and considering, there begin the understanding of the virtues of the Buddha, little by little, until we are sure and no doubt about his enlightenment. Because each word of understanding will turn towards the moment of having less and less ignorance.
Metta Sutta or the Anapanasati Sutta, which you mentioned the other day, they can be read completely with a wrong idea of I should concentrate or I should focus or I should quietly try to be aware of breath or something like this. So it's not a matter of how many suttas or how many texts one reads, and it's not a matter of how long one listens, but it has to be the very careful consideration of those words, and in particular to understand that each dharma is conditioned and anatta, apart from nibbana, which we don't talk about. So actually no one who can do anything or who can follow any practice at all.
So what is the right motive for studying reality?
No one can do because there is no one at all. There are only different realities at different moment. That which has arisen and fallen away completely, absolutely, can it be anyone? Can it be someone? And can it belong to anyone? Not at all, because completely gone. Like now, just a moment ago, has gone completely.
So the motive or the purpose is just for the sake of understanding, but not I who understand anything. It's not for me to have more understanding, but just for the purpose of understanding what is true in life at this moment.
What about the negatives? For example, the dog and the cat. So we see the dog and the cat, and I don't want to be a dog and a cat in my next life. So is that can be a little bit of a motive for studying reality?
It can be any kind, depending on what condition that moment. It can be any kind of motive.
Mm-hmm. Achan, are you saying that anything can be natural, decisive support condition for Panya?
When it's right.
When the accumulations is there and when it's right. But if we're thinking, when we're thinking about, I don't want to be a dog or cat.
Yeah. A foolish person. Sorry? A foolish person.
Yeah, even worse.
Better. The same. What is better?
It's the most important thing is to have right understanding. So it's better to be a dog with right understanding as an accumulation rather than...
Who does more crime, corruption and everything?
Yeah, the person with wrong view. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Right. Yeah, so whatever it is that we're thinking or we experience and then think about, it's just depends on past accumulations that it can be the... condition for right understanding.
But who knows the past accumulation?
Nobody knows, mm-hmm. but
there are so many conditions for each moment.
Right.
So the right considering is the best thing to arise now to consider. The word which is heard, whether it's right or wrong, is there any value of understanding whatever appears, or does it hurt?
What do you mean? Does it hurt?
It does not. Right understanding does not hurt at all. But wrong understanding hurts at the moment when it arises. It hurts right understanding.
And the difficulty is that wrong understanding arises with pleasant feeling, right?
Pardon?
Wrong understanding arises with pleasant feeling.
It arises with attachment for sure, clinging right to that with pleasantness or unpleasant.
Or it could be indifferent feeling. Yeah. Right.
And we can say that all
akusala
is the
rooted in not understanding reality correctly, so that this idea taking realities for self is the very peak of unwholesome deeds.
Because who do you like or love most in this world?
Oneself.
Oneself. Everything just for oneself.
The other day, before you arrived in Gangrajana, we were having a discussion about how the Sotapanna doesn't hurt or harm others, doesn't kill or doesn't commit a strong akusala kammapada that will hurt others. And we were discussing about whether this was because of A, because there's clear understanding of anatta, so no being there, so one won't harm the other, and also because the akusala has been attenuated, so there isn't that degree of akusala. And what about just wrong speech? What kind of wrong speech is
there? How many are there?
Ooh.
What are they?
Yeah.
Cannot eradicate yet.
No, and gossip, it depends whether it's deliberately harming the others. Yeah. The ones that are deliberately harming the others, I think, are eradicated. Yeah.
As long as we know that there's a tapanna, eradicate what and what, that's all.
Yes, yes. And can one say that any deliberate harming of the other no longer occurs?
Not to degree of killing.
To that degree, yeah, because of the strength of that akusala. And can one say that is because no longer any idea of someone?
Because there's still ignorance, but no wrong understanding at all.
No. Thank you.
The question is, I mean, even a Sotapanna does not have right understanding all the time and can have a kusta arising again and again. What makes it that the kusala does not arise often enough to condition ill deeds?
Because of there is still ignorance.
There is ignorance, therefore the akusala can rise. But why not to the extent of kammapatha?
Because what's the use of killing? Because everything arising and falling away by itself.
But not every time does the Sotapanna think about it's there with right understanding.
But it's there because the anusya has been uprooted already.
No, so
condition.
So no condition for akusala kammapatha.
For killing, stealing, and the five precepts.
Ajahn, can we say, I'm just thinking of Sukhin's question there, that because the panya of the Sotapanna is so strong now that they will not be able to act in ways which would be strong akusala speech. Could we say that?
It's only thinking. I think a lot about everything, try to understand what is not here, I think. And I think that does anyone would like to kill now, to kill anyone or anything now? See, even not a Sotapanna doesn't have such thinking of killing. And the person before becoming Sotapanna developed great understanding of reality as not self. So even at that any moment of life, there is no wrong understanding of the self.
Can we say that because killing requires intention to kill and it's associated with knowledge that there's another being who will be killed and that such thoughts never come?
Not necessary to kill anyone.
I was just trying to think if there was anywhere in the texts or in the commentaries, but the only thing that came to my mind was when King, he was Vidudiba, Pasenadi's son, wanted to wreak vengeance on the Sakyans, and many of them were Sotapanna.
If we understand the truth, that's all. No matter the story is this or that. Mm.
It's like now, no thought of killing or stealing because one sees the danger of it and one understands it doesn't bring any benefit, and it, actually the cause of death is that the karma from the past anyway. So when one considers the well-being of others, no thought of harming in that way or taking what doesn't belong to one. So it's easy to see how when understanding develops, no thought like that at all.
And when there is the understanding of everything as nothing, and in something, and in nothing, so actually there's nothing every moment. Shall we kill?
That understanding should apply to all situations. So I'm thinking about Visakha, who was very desperate, was crying when her grandchild died. And the Buddha had to
she's not an arahata.
But
she's not
a sotapanna.
An anakami. So crying can be conditioned.
Right, but no such thoughts that it's just a moment and it's wasi.
It doesn't matter at all what condition what, but since there's no wrong understanding, it is completely eradicated.
While there's still attachment to sense objects, there will be crying over the loss of those sense objects. That's all. Just dosa conditioned by attachment.
If we're talking about the development of understanding, it's daily life, so it's not a matter of doing anything, it's not a matter of any rules, it's just knowing the reality which appears. But for the monks, there were a lot of rules. So what was the purpose of the rules?
What's the purpose of becoming a monk?
To become arahata?
Yes. How to be arahata?
By having no attachment at all.
So right understanding conditioned right speech and words in their life.
So the function of the rules then is to remind that person why they're there?
The way an arahata lives.
The way the arahata lives. And today I think that we spoke a little bit about the order of nuns. So that they died out some time ago, was that right? And according to Vinaya, that they cannot be reinstated. So in other words, it's wrong to have an order of nuns now.
What for?
Well, again, the order of nuns will be there to be an arahata, to emulate the life of the arahata.
They're arahata now?
No.
So, no, you should be a nun either?
No. And it would be a disadvantage because if one is already ignoring the rules, then I imagine that you'd also not be developing the right path.
There can be the development of understanding to the degree of anagami without becoming monk and nun.
Anagami, and is that possible today?
Should we know?
No, we don't know.
What about right understanding today's?
So if one is, so when we, if we see somebody ordained as a nun, then actually they're not really nuns.
What for?
It would be their attachment to
the purpose of nuns in the Buddha's time, like monk, to the degree of arahata.
And it's not possible now to be arahata.
What about understanding?
It's very difficult to have understanding, yes, even to become sotapanna. But at this time, would it not be possible for somebody to develop understanding to become an arahata?
By conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Can or cannot? What? No understanding at all.
Mm-hmm. We can say the purpose of the Vinaya is for the development of right understanding, to develop to the level of becoming an arahat. And in one sutta which was mentioned last time in Anguttara, Upali asked the Buddha about the purpose of the Vinaya, and the Buddha said, for the excellence of the order, for the well-being of the order, for the control of ill-conditioned monks and the comfort of well-behaved monks, for the restraint of the cankers in this same visible state, for protection against the cankers in a future life, to give confidence to those of little faith, for the betterment of the faithful, to establish true Dharma, and to support the discipline. Of these purposes given, which is the most important?
All of them.
All of them.
To
be an arahata. And one friend mentioned that the most important was for the well-being of the order. But you would say all.
Otherwise, one need not be a monk.
Otherwise?
One need not to be a monk.
Need not be a monk, no. So actually all are equally important, mm-hmm. then, all for the purpose of developing understanding, mm-hmm. to be an arahat. Thank you.
For the well-being of the order, is it because nobody can attain develop an understanding to level of arahatship if in that as a monk, if in the place he's staying there are bad monks, is it?
Mm-hmm. What do you feel if someone is so bad behavior and one is so good and the other is so bad, live together?
Then cannot develop understanding of the Dharma or cannot establish the true Dharma
at all.
Now there are no bhikkhunis, but even if we are in a time where there are no bhikkhus, but there is the Dhamma and somebody explaining the Dhamma in the right way. I think for someone to want to establish the order of the bhikkhus, there's no reason for that, because the important thing is to understand the Dhamma, and to start something that's already died out, it sounds somewhat arrogant. So I don't think there's any good reason to want to establish something that's already died out.
What's the meaning of bhikkhu, the word bhikkhu?
One without stain. There are many meanings, because when the Buddha, someone asked a question before about bhikkhu, but essentially it means he who has got no conditions for a kusala anymore. So when the Buddha said ehi bhikkhu, he was inviting that person to become a member of the sangha, because they had no kusala, because they get rid of the kinasava, they got rid of the asavas. So nowadays there are a lot of monks, and we talked about this last week or the week before, about the kasawa kanta asava, the monks that have just got, well, and it's actually not even monks, just got.
And one important meaning is seeing the danger of the circle of birth and death. Anyone, even in heaven, Buddha said bhikkhu, but there is no bhikkhu then at all. But anyone who sees the danger of birth and death is bhikkhu.
Not necessary for any robes to be bhikkhu at all.
Do you want to have bhikkhu?
I mean, Dhamma. We are all interested in hearing the Dhamma. And if there are some bhikkhus who understand the Dhamma...
Just bhikkhu, no.
But she's talking... We've just talked about the one who sees the danger of the cycle of birth and death, not the bhikkhu in robes. So, of course, everyone can appreciate the value of the real bhikkhu, the one who really sees the danger of the cycle.
And what about the person in robe? Do you want to have the person in robe?
No, we want to have someone with right understanding.
How to explain to a beginner the danger of rebirth, being in the cycle? That is really difficult. Most people like birth, so how shall we explain?
So they like this?
No.
Yes, they do, because they like birth.
They like birth.
So they like this.
But then they like death.
No, it's not seeing the danger of just birth and death all the
birth
time.
Birth and death. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's really difficult to explain that.
Is birth nice?
Good? Most people think it's nice.
to die.
They like birth.
In order to be born again?
To be born. They don't mind because they don't understand it.
But I think that everyone just don't want to die.
No, that's right.
But they have to.
They have to.
So
yeah.
Better to understand what birth and death is.
Yeah.
Than just like or dislike it.
Yeah.
So very common, we will not be this person soon. It depends on what time. But one cannot be as like now in this life anymore after death.
Well, I think it's difficult for the person who hasn't considered the true nature of realities to see the danger in birth and death, because we take everything
but it does mean
worthwhile.
Just one life, all lives, birth and death, all the way, only birth and death, not just doing birth and death of this life. Eternal. Not only once, not only twice. Yeah.
But for somebody with a lot of understanding, that comes down to the present moment, that it's seeing the danger of the arising of this moment, because it falls away instantly. Is that right? So that there are different meanings of the word birth and death. So we have birth and death conventionally, but we have the birth of reality now, which must cease.
Is birth and death tiring? Boring? Again and again and again?
Mm-hmm.
Non-stop? And never stop at all if there's no conditions for its final death?
A beginner doesn't think so far ahead. They think now, they like life, and they don't care so much about future.
What about die tomorrow?
They think, oh, tomorrow is tomorrow. not now.
What's the best thing now if one will die tomorrow?
What is the best thing now?
If one would die tomorrow.
If one would die tomorrow. Understanding. Mm-hmm. But not everybody will. We can say understanding, but do they know?
They might say, enjoy your life the best.
Yeah. They will. Yeah.
Can there be some level of understanding about the cycle of birth and death without the understanding of Dhamma realities?
Yes, because everyone understands birth and death.
So, but that cycle of birth and death will be about someone being born and dying. So that what kind of understanding
is there? There are many different wrong understandings about life. Eternal, forever, or just end up of this life only. No more.
But neither of that is the only idea thinking. that it is being born again and again.
I think that the word truth is very good to think about and to develop the truth, to understand the truth better than anything, to help people to be interested.
Truth, hear the word truth, there's a wide meaning or many meanings. So I'm just wondering how we can explain that best.
Yeah, so we can talk more about truth. For anyone to know and to understand, the truth is at any moment. In every moment, truth is here and now.
Yes.
For some, there is the idea truth means understanding truth about yourself.
It doesn't matter. So have more conversation about what is self and so on to understand the truth better and better.
So that interest can be a sign that there can be understanding, there can be interest in understanding realities, because some people are happy to find out things about themselves, even if it's a kusla, know that they are like this and like that, but no understanding about dhammas.
Like, you talk about truth of what?
Like somebody knows that he has some faults, for example. He is happy to know that.
But we can talk about the absolute truth.
We can. Mm-hmm. So my question is, some people have that kind of interest but never heard the Dhamma. And they're happy to find out, they're happy to know what they lack, for example. And they feel that each time they find out something about themselves, it's like they are less burdened. So for such a person, we can't be sure that once he hears about the realities, seeing, hearing, smelling, that...
Usually I think that we better understand people in terms of truth, realities, absolute realities, rather than this person or that person or someone or some people.
Now, while we're thinking about what will we say to this person or that person, or what words, and what if they say this and what if we say that, actually we forget about reality at this moment that's appearing, which is thinking about people and thinking about this and that. So what about understanding thinking as just a reality now, instead of being lost in the story about what will I say to this person and what if he thinks this or that?
And what I'm thinking is that even as some people might be interested to find out about themselves, but that could be with attachment to self.
Yes, but the understanding can eliminate the idea of clinging to self.
So it's not necessary that someone appreciates being told that he's, or discovering that he's got this and that fault. That may be from just attachment.
We cannot help anyone who is not interested in understanding the truth.
So the test is only when he hears the truth and whether or not he's interested in it.
Right now, for us, like if someone says, oh, this is your fault or that is your fault, actually the truth is that there are just different dharmas arising and falling away. No one there, no one who has faults or anything else. They're just dharmas which are so momentary that, and there can be understanding now of what appears, seeing, visible object, attachment, aversion, or whatever. So it's the understanding now that leads to the understanding how it is for everyone, regardless. So it always has to come back to dharmas now.
Maggie.
Any interest in going to the meditation center these days?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Sometimes. When it's an idea of I can do, I can practice. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So when there is no understanding now of Dhamma, such as seeing now, visible object that's seen now, hearing now, sound now, just Dhammas in life, then there is an idea of I can do, I can make awareness arise. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, only Dhammas. No one can make seeing arise now. No one can make hearing arise. Mm. No one can make kind thinking arise now, because it just depends on conditions. Mm-hmm. So actually, no one who can do anything.
Mm.
Is that correct?
Yes, but if I have the idea that I want to go to the meditation center, is that by condition also? Because I got the idea. It's quite natural, right?
Very natural. It's the accumulated thinking, because in the past there has been that thinking and that tendency, I want to go to that center, and if I go to that center, maybe there will be more awareness. So that way of thinking has been strongly accumulated, so it conditions more thinking in the same way. And that's why there has to be the hearing and considering a lot about conditioned realities to really get rid of the idea of I can do, or another place will be better, or I should go there, or I can have awareness. So very natural. But at this moment, there is seeing, there is hearing. There can be the beginning of understanding even now. No need to go anywhere.
In truth, is there you? In truth, is there you? You said you can do, I can do, but actually, is there you?
Which is the you?
So, what is you? What is you?
Well, she wants to say yes. I think I. There
yeah.
I.
Yeah.
There is.
She wants to say that.
So, what is it that you take for I? What is the I?
Let's ask your little assistant, yes. Nana.
Yeah.
Nana, is there any I now? Any Nana now?
No.
So when there is thinking about I am Maggie, I am Nana, I can do, what is the reality?
I don't know.
Is there thinking at that time? I am Nana, I am Maggie. Is it thinking?
Yes.
Is thinking real?
Yes.
Thinking is real. I am Maggie, or I am Nana. Is that real? Or
no.
Is it just an idea?
Yes.
Just an idea. So, I can do is just an idea. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Is seeing real?
Yes.
Is hearing real?
Yes.
Can I see or can I hear?
Only seeing.
Only seeing can see. Only hearing can hear. So when there is an idea, I can see, I can hear, I can do, it's just thinking. Is that correct?
Correct.
So in reality, no I who can do anything at all. Is that correct?
Correct.
No I who can go to the meditation center. No I who can fly to Bangkok. because it's just thinking at that moment. So correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So will Nana go to meditation center?
Only thinking.
But will you go?
Not really.
Is it more helpful to learn more about the truth and about realities, or is it more helpful to go to the meditation center and close your eyes and try to concentrate? What is more helpful?
Truth.
Why is understanding the truth more helpful?
Because you are no person.
You will understand that there's no person. And you'll understand about the different dharmas, about the different namas, those realities which experience an object, and the different rupas, those realities which don't experience anything. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we learned the other day that there are two kinds of realities, those realities which can experience an object, which we call namas, and those realities that don't experience anything, rupas, is that correct?
Correct.
Apart from these namas and rupas, is there another reality which is myself?
No.
No. And can you give me one or two examples of namas, those realities which experience an object?
Seeing.
Seeing.
And feeling.
Feeling, very good examples. And can you give me two examples of those realities that don't experience anything?
Sound.
Sound.
Think.
Thinking experiences an idea. What about?
Hard.
Hardness. Hardness is also a rupa. So the reason that we learn about all these different realities is to understand that that's all there is in life. There is no self, no Maggie, no Nana, no meditation center in reality. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is it interesting to learn more about the truth in life?
Yes.
A little bit. Good. Very good answers. Thank you.
But I think my experience and people I know who still go to the meditation center because they think they have more calm, they are calmer, or they think they are most sensitive to the reality, like feeling. So they have the impression they're awareness increase. That's pretty much a lot of people who still continue go back to the center. So it's not, I mean, there's really no knowing of what exactly sati is.
Not for understanding at all.
Right. But somehow people have that kind of impression, their awareness increase.
They just want anything for themselves, but not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they understand calmness to be?
That's exactly the point, because people don't really understand what calm is, because the panya is not there yet. It's not accumulated enough yet. So it's easier to take the less emotional change without maybe just moha. The indifferent feeling accompanying moha that is easily mistaken as calm.
Like at this moment, is there calmness now?
Even there is, it's just a very short moment, right?
And usually completely unknown.
Right.
Because, like, even now, in the middle of a Dharma discussion, even talking about calmness, there are some moments of kusala, when there's a little understanding, and actually at those moments, the citta is calm. But there are also many moments of attachment to comfortable feeling or the taste, right, or the coolness. So there is pleasant feeling also with those moments. So pleasant feeling with the moments of understanding, pleasant feeling with the moments of attachment. And at those moments, there's no calmness. So if we sit quietly now and close our eyes and focus on breath or another object, it can seem very pleasant and very calm. But if there's no understanding, there's no idea at all whether it's really calm or whether it's ignorance and attachment masquerading as calm.
Right.
So it's very difficult to really be truthful to understand reality at this moment. And Ajahn always says it takes a lot of courage to develop understanding, to really give up the idea of self and to really see that what one takes for being calm and wholesome mostly is just attachment.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the other day that calm is a mental factor, pasadi chetasika. So at moments of kindness or moments of metta, like when one helps one's friend, at those moments of kindness there is calmness. At moments of generosity, when one gives something for the other's welfare, there is calmness. And at moments of understanding or bhavana, there is calmness. But at every other moment, there is no calmness at all. So if one's just looking at the pleasant sunrise, or one's walking in the forest, or eating one's food very slowly and carefully, if there's no metta, no generosity, no understanding, it's attachment, not calmness.
And I think that the point Ajahn just made a moment ago was very pertinent. They just want something for themselves.
Why would one like to be calm? Why would one like to have more metta?
And without the words of the Buddha, who can know that what we take for calm is not calm? For example, right now, is there calm? No one can tell. Only right understanding can, when there are right conditions for it to know. The difference between attachment to pleasant feeling and calmness, which is not attachment at all. And can calm, can condition moment without ignorance. People would like to have calm, to be calm, but can calm condition moment without ignorance? So there is ignorance when there's no right understanding. And what one takes for calmness is not calm.
But many people, Ajahn, think when there is calmness, there is no ignorance.
Just thinking.
There's a sutra about delighting, most people delight in restlessness. I think we mentioned it last time. So would it be correct to say that a manifestation is that we like pleasant feeling, and the pleasant feeling is accompanied by restlessness? So when we listen to music, we have a pleasant feeling, and that must be accompanied by restlessness because it's attachment. So that way, in other words, what did the Buddha mean by saying that we people delight in restlessness? Because I think that
because of ignorance.
Because of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also not understanding realities as they are, because, for example, when one's walking in the quiet forest, it can seem so calm, but actually it's attachment, and at that moment, at that time, it is restless. The citta is disturbed because there is attachment, but it's not known. One just enjoys it. One enjoys the pleasant feeling. There's no understanding that actually it's disturbed. It's not calm at all at those times.
In the Visuddhimagga, the
first section on Sila is actually all about Sila Vasudhi, about the development of understanding of Sila, the nature of Chitta with understanding. Can we say the second section, the Samadhi section, is all about Chitta Visuddhi?
Yes, so, because at that time we talk when there is understanding only. The seven Visuddhi must deal with the understanding.
So even when we read that section about all kinds of concentration and the development of calm, even up to the level of jhana, with all the different objects involved, whether it's breath or metta or death or whatever the object, actually it's about citta visuddhi. It's actually about the development of understanding with that development of calm. And when it is visuddhi, it is right understanding of realities. So no matter how great the calm, how great the concentration, there has to be the understanding of reality as anatta. So actually whatever we read about in the teachings is about the development of understanding of realities.
Any moment of right understanding, is that also not citta visuddhi?
I think whenever there is right understanding of realities, there is sila visuddhi and there is citta visuddhi, but it depends on what degree and how it has been developed.
Because we just talk about the seven visuddhis, only that, not ordinary sila, because it will lead to enlightenment from the very beginning. Usually there are only sila, ordinary sila, but not sila visuddhi. Without right understanding, there cannot be visuddhi at all, visuddhi from wrong understanding.
But I think his question is, can one say that at any moment of satipatthana, sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi right. is already there, but not yet of the degree of the next one,
Ditti
Visuddhi, which is Vipassana Jnana. Yeah.
No, my question was because you asked about the mention of in the Visuddhi Magga about the section on the jhanas, and Achan's reply was that that's actually reference to Panya. And that's what I was wondering. Then Panya arises even when there's no jhana, right? So if why particularly that is cited as citta visuddhi and not any other? So, but maybe, and I was just thinking after you asked that in the case of jhana, maybe citta visuddhi, because anagamis are said to have citta visuddhi, right? So maybe it's something to do with cittas that are not experienced in sense objects with attachment. I don't know.
And I think it's referring, citta visuddhi is referring to samadhi with understanding, so of different degrees. So here in the Visuddhi Magga, it's talking about all degrees right up to jhana. So it's referring to samadhi, concentration with understanding. I think you're thinking about adi panya, when you're referring to the anagami. Yeah.
It can be any moment of the satipatthana too.
Even now. Can be adi sila, adi citta, adi panya. But often they refer to the anagami and the samadhi that has been developed and the eradication of attachment to sense objects in adi citta having been fully accomplished, I think, and adi panya having been fully accomplished by the arahant.
It depends on the degrees.
When we were talking earlier about calm and meditation centers and no one who can do anything, just understanding at this moment. Does it make sense to you? Can you follow it?
On the meaning of the word, intellectually I can accept what the logic here, but I still cannot really realize the true meaning yet.
Without the intellectual understanding can be conditioned to understand directly, seeing which arises and falls away now?
Sometimes, yes.
What is there at moment of yes?
I cannot understand.
Are we talking about the development of understanding or just to go somewhere?
I think we are talking about how for the development of any understanding or the development of awareness of realities or even the development of calm, it has to be at this moment because there is no other moment. So now if we think about going to another place or we think about, oh, what will we say when we help our friend or what will happen when we return to our country, actually we're forgetting about reality at this moment. So if there is attachment now or seeing now or visible object appearing now, these are realities. So there can be the beginning of understanding, the beginning of awareness, the beginning of development of calm at this moment. No need to wait or put it off. Because as Ajahn said earlier, maybe we'll die tomorrow. Maybe we'll die in 5 minutes' time. So the understanding or the bhavana has to be right now. And when understanding develops, calmness develops with it. But as soon as there is an idea of I should go somewhere else or another time, another place would be better, it's the idea of I can do something, not the understanding of realities now which are conditioned and anatta. Does that make sense?
I remember now that you just talk about the intellectual understanding, that you know that what is the intellectual understanding about reality right now, but not the direct understanding, the truth of it at moment when it arises and falls away yet. Is that right? Just talk about the intellectual understanding only now, because it's not the moment of directly experiencing the arising and falling away, which cannot be without the intellectual understanding so very firm. Because reality now arises and falls away, that can be directly experienced, but not with the idea of I, or try many ways to have it arise. It has to be the intellectual understanding about now, so firmly that it is the great confidence that no other moment at all. Reality can be known just right now, not the moment before or the moment after, but just right now. Because now it arises and it falls away, but the panya which hasn't been developed enough cannot experience that. That's why it needs more understanding, the intellectual understanding, which will condition or lead to the moment of directly experiencing it without expectation.
Because before you said you can follow the words but need to consider it more. So in the beginning it is just following the words and then considering carefully and discussing them further.
So I think we should talk more about reality now before and arising and falling away. So what is reality right now?
We had a short discussion before the meeting began. And at the end of that, Liu Wan said, well, I've heard a lot of new things now. So I think she feels that she needs some time to consider all these new terms and what they represent. But I can ask her this. Is it interesting to learn more about what is real at the present moment? Is it useful? And is it necessary to hear that before there can be the development of understanding? Right. We cannot develop understanding by our own thinking. Understanding means understanding what is real as taught by the Buddha. Understanding means understanding the Buddha's teaching as it applies to the present moment. Different from thinking about things.
We have the idea that going to the meditation centre's wrong, but so understanding can be developed anywhere. But we've all decided to come here. We've all made the effort to come here to understand intellectually. So actually, there's not that much difference between those two, because we are coming here to understand. Or is it that actually that's not understood correctly, that this moment arises by conditions regardless? So is there any difference between going to the meditation center to understand and coming here to understand?
Going to meditation to understand or not understand?
If you go to the meditation center, you don't understand intellectually at all. But we do come to specific places. That's what I'm trying to get to understand.
This is the difference.
Yes. Okay. I get that. Yeah. Because what I think that we had the idea that we go to a meditation, the very act of going,
for what purpose?
If it was to understand.
No, not at all.
No,
just to follow.
To do. Yeah.
Without any understanding at all.
Yeah. Because we do make the effort to go to a place.
To do.
To understand.
At meditation center, just to do.
Yeah.
But now not to do, but to understand.
Yeah. So it's not the going to a place which is wrong. It's going to a place where there's no understanding developed which is wrong. Because we do come here to understand.
That there is no self.
Now that's what seems to be a bit strange, because because coming here is quite a long...
With the idea of self, to know that there is no self.
But coming here with the idea of self, that hasn't brought me here. It's the conditioned realities.
But to understand whether there is the self or not.
Yes. But it's funny how the idea of self has brought...
Before understanding that there is no self.
Has brought me here to understand there is no self.
See?
Yeah.
But from hearing, there is no I at all. There are only different realities conditioned from moment to moment.
Actually, in reality,
there is no I am coming here. And there is no, I am going to the meditation center. There are just different kinds of jitas. So coming here, kusala and akusala jitas, but no idea of following a technique or a practice in order to be aware. But when one goes to the meditation center, there is the idea of following a technique, following a practice in order to be aware. But actually, no one who goes to either place. And if there is the idea that if I come here, there will be awareness throughout the discussion or understanding just because I come here, that would be wrong practice too. It would not be understanding of reality at all.
And one difference is that the meditation center is a meditation center, whereas here means today it's this room, tomorrow it's somewhere else, you know, it doesn't matter. But Achana, I was thinking earlier about the relationship between understanding at the level of hearing and direct understanding. I think if there's any right understanding, it must include understanding of that relationship, that there cannot be direct understanding without intellectual understanding.
For example, touching now, what appears usually always hurt, right? No understanding, or is there any understanding of that? And how come to have the understanding, which is the direct understanding? It tends to be hearing a lot and understanding a lot, not the idea that I am aware or I will be aware in order to understand this.
So even now there can be wrong understanding and wrong practice. Like if we hear about hardness and I try to be aware, even now it can be wrong, or try to be calm because we've just heard about calmness. So it's
aware.
The citta, I am aware.
It's
so it's the, no matter here or there or anywhere, it's the kind of citta that's important, because it's not I am sitting here or I am at the meditation center. So even now, moments of right understanding, but also there can be moments of wrong understanding.
But place is just taking realities for self, isn't it? Because hardness is the same here as is in a different place. It's just hardness, just sound. Just so the idea of going somewhere to have right understanding is just taking realities for something. Yeah.
So the difference to me is even more dangerous if we go to a meditation center, because the practice itself is that I can manage something, I can control attention on something, which is right, which is wrong at the very beginning.
One associates with people, or there is a teacher and one's encouraged to think that idea I can control, if one's encouraged to think it's a right idea, then it's conditioned for more of that kind of idea, so it leads to more and more wrong practice. Whereas now there may be moments of wrong practice, like there may be trying to be aware of hardness, so it's wrong practice, but by hearing and considering, there are conditions for understanding to understand that wrong view, that wrong practice when it arises. That's the reason the Buddha taught for so long, and why there has to be so much hearing and considering.
But even the idea of coming here to listen to the Dharma is wrong in the sense...
To listen is not wrong.
No, but there's the idea of self.
It's there, not eradicated yet.
Coming here,
but
to listen.
We cannot tell what moment there is the idea of self or not until it appears.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And many people went to listen to the Buddha when he was travelling around or staying at different temples.
Mm-hmm. It's like what we were discussing the other day about the scientists making the iPhone, and one cannot say that just because of that activity or just because of coming here to listen to the Dharma that it must be any wrong understanding or wrong practice at those times. It just depends on the citta at each moment. But at the meditation center, when there is the idea of I can try to be aware, definitely it is wrong understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Come here to understand the Dharmas or to share with friends. Doesn't need to be any wrong understanding at those moments. But if there is the idea that just because I'm here there will be right understanding or right awareness, or I can make it arise by coming here, that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're reading a sutta and you... having difficulty understanding, you might open the commentaries to help you, right? So here we have Achan to help us.
From Tipitaka and commentaries.
Let's refer to the Buddha's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is why the Buddha taught for so long and why the Arahats added the commentaries so that there could be more wise considering and less wrong understanding. So considering more about the truths or more details doesn't have to be, as you say, just like opening a book, doesn't have to be any wrong understanding at that time. But if there is the idea that when I open the book, there will be awareness and understanding, and by doing that action or reading the words, it will make understanding arise. This is wrong understanding and wrong practice.
There's the wrong idea of self, not necessarily all the time, but whether we go here or go there, there's still the wrong idea of the self choosing to go here and there, which needs to be recognised.
It depends. Like if I go out of here and I say, shall I go left or to the restaurant or right back to the hotel, and I think about it and go left, it doesn't need to be any wrong understanding at all. It's just different moments of thinking. Mm. Just like normal, like a dog thinks about which way to go and then goes running that way.
Presumably,
just with attachment and ignorance, it doesn't need to be any idea of I who was doing this or that.
Presumably the Buddha taught a lot more than was written in the Tipitaka, because I assume that only some things were recorded by Ananda, or is everything he said? I mean, when Nina writes about our discussions, she will only pick out one or two points. So when the Buddha taught, only presumably one or two things were remembered and written down, or was it everything? In other words, did he teach a lot more than was recorded?
Why was everybody's Ananda?
We talked for many days before,
yes.
And what does one get? Not the whole story or every word, but only the right understanding from it.
Hmm.
And just going back to your earlier point, I think you've moved on, but bear in mind that the Buddha explained many times the importance of hearing the teaching. And he also mentioned the benefit of discussion with other people who have good understanding of the teaching. And he also mentioned the people who listen to the Dhamma with eager ears. And that, I think, refers to the chanda, the interest in the teaching. Is it possible that those who are here with eager ears, out of an interest in hearing more about what the Buddha taught? Whether they come with an idea of self or not, I don't think really has any bearing on it. Some people appreciate the benefit of hearing about the Dhamma as a condition for more consideration. And that's the difference between those people and others who want to go somewhere just to follow an instruction and practice. Is that a fair distinction?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if one thinks that one must go to a certain place to get wisdom, that is a characteristic of wrong view of ditti. Which, as Sarah pointed out before, when we just think about going here or there or coming here, it doesn't have to be that, but it will be a strong indicator that there will be ditti, wrong view, if one thinks that one has to go to a certain place. That's a big difference. And just a small point there on not every single word, I suppose the one that I think of sometimes anyway, is the Dhammacakka Sutta. We've just got the heart of the sutta. We haven't got the every single word, but we know the Buddha spent many hours talking, so they understood. But we've got the heart of the sutta. And then the commentators, arahatas and the like, came along later on and filled out some of those stories or gaps to help people later on, because sometimes to read the Dhammacakka Sutta just without commentaries, it's very difficult to understand. Yeah.
I suppose the idea of going anywhere is in reality, there's no one. There's only realities.
But what do you mean by idea?
Well, when we want to say, oh, I'm going to go shopping this
afternoon. You have to say?
No. But I had the idea that I'm... yes, I think that I am going to the shopping centre.
But it's not necessary at all, because now there is seeing and there is thinking about that which is seen without any word at all. So thinking is thinking. It is not that I'm going to pick up the grass or something like that. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, it doesn't have to be an idea of I, and there is an I who is picking up the microphone. There are just different cheetahs and moments of intention and rupas conditioned by the thinking and... just like normal,
mm-hmm.
most of the day, just ignorance and attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's like every time there's an idea of going here or there or doing anything, there must be wrong view. It's not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Achan is saying here is that we don't always think in terms of those particular concepts. Like, we pick up a microphone without having to think that we're picking up a microphone. Right.
To clarify, when we pick up the mug, we are conscious of there being hardness. We're not. When that is right.
Do you know that the microphone is hard? You are touching. Mm. See? No thinking about that at all.
So
it's
when,
gone so fast.
Yeah, I see. So when there is right awareness, that reality appears.
Well.
And
to indicate that there is awareness of it. Otherwise, it cannot appear like a reality just that. See, like now we touch many times, no understanding, no idea. But when it's there, well... it means that there is awareness of it, so it appears as a reality, as we have heard long, long time before, or every day. And later on, when the idea is so firm, the understanding is so firm about, there's nothing, see? Because nothing, and then hardness, and then nothing. It will condition moment of the regular experience with understanding and detachment from not understanding it as it is. Even we have heard long time, many times ago about it, but it works itself from moment to moment to develop the understanding with right awareness. So at that moment, right understanding, understand awareness as it is, and that object as it is, that there is awareness, but no need to say that, oh, it's there.
So with sound...
the same.
The same, that when there is awareness of sound,
mm-hmm.
the sound...
it's just
appears
like...
appears...
just like it is, but
well,
with attention or awareness to it. So it appears well as only a reality. Otherwise, there are so many realities. And this is the difference between moment with awareness and moments without awareness. And Panya knows. It doesn't mean that whether I have it or whether it's there. No question like that at all.
But the difference at that moment between the Panya and awareness. So awareness is aware of hardness.
Mm-hmm.
And Panya, there is the understanding that reality has appeared because of awareness.
It knows the difference. It doesn't have to say that there is awareness. Because without awareness, that object cannot appear like that at all. Even it's exactly natural one, like now. But Panya is there. So the development of Panya begins to know intellectually until it knows the moment when awareness is there.
So presumably in the beginning that level of Panya is not at the degree that it appears as Panya.
as we have heard before, that it's only tattoo and it's only a moment, and it arises and it falls away. Every word is so true when it's time.
So when you say it appears well, at that moment I have attachment. I wish I could, but I know I can't. I know it's wrong.
Vanya knows that there is attachment when there is attachment.
But I take it for my attachment.
So before there can be no I at all,
yeah.
How long will it take?
Many
for
lives.
Vanya to develop?
Many lives, yeah.
Many 100,000 or 100,000, 100,000.
So we hear about it now and then it can accumulate.
Yeah, but, it works by itself.
Yeah.
Even right now, citta and cetasika.
But as soon as you say the difference between awareness and no awareness, I have attachment already.
So, yeah. Panya knows that there is attachment. Attachment is not self.
But
everything has to become clear as no self.
But I take it for my attachment, so that's not Panya.
It's not Panya, it's you who say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Panya knows. But, so well.
But Nina, as Ellen was suggesting just now, in the beginning, you don't know the characteristic of Pandya or Sati, even when it arises. So it can arise without knowing that it has just arisen. Pandya.
I think when Pandya arises, it knows. Otherwise,
it knows the object. Pandya. It knows the object. But then to know that Pandya has arisen requires another moment of Pandya.
Okay, I understand. The self is there.
The self is there.
I understand. Yeah. Until understanding is not I.
And that takes many lives.
And minding, wishing to have it, minding not having it. It's just dharmas, rise and falling away, not mine. So it has to be so natural that it's just daily life and like going left or right or lifting the cup of tea. It's not like anything is any different. So awareness can slip in, understanding can slip in any time, no matter what kind of thinking it is, no matter where or when or how. Otherwise, it's like it's not natural daily life, an idea that if I think this, then it's wrong understanding, so I better not think this, or I better not think I, when I, instead of just understand it just as it is at that moment.
Yeah. But in my Vipassana letters, I try to correct all those things. Like sati is slipping in. I did not correct that, but I was a bit afraid that it induces attachment to sati slipping in.
I is there.
Yeah, yeah.
To be known.
Right, yeah.
Until it's known.
Until it is known, but we don't know when.
No expectation.
Yeah, and no Panya knows, but we don't know Panya.
Panya itself knows. It knows whether there is awareness or no awareness.
Panya knows.
Yeah. And what degree of right understanding is there.
Yeah.
Nina, I didn't follow your point there about sati slipping in. I didn't follow that.
So it was explained, sati can slip in meaning so fast a moment and not inducing it, but it can be so fast and not inducing it at all, it by itself, by its own conditions. So the word slipping in is used also to show so fast in and out.
Like now, usually as soon as there is seeing or hearing, attachment slips in, it arises just so instantly. And just like attachment usually arises as soon as there's seeing or hearing, sati can slip in. It means it can arise not by any different kind of thinking or not by not having the idea of attachment or anything like that, just very naturally. And yes, there can be attachment now to having sati slip in, yeah. But we can hear about how it's so precious to have understanding of realities. There can be attachment then, there can be attachment any time, very natural, but just more dharmas,
very, good.
Very natural very good. In daily life.
Yeah, it's very good. You've stressed that, Ajahn and other friends stressed that just the dharmas, no matter attachment or no attachment or maybe a moment of sati, but we have to be so careful not to take for sati what is not sati, but thinking, a quick moment of thinking. I used to be like that, attached.
Otherwise it's minding all the time what arises, what appears, but actually they're just all inconsequential. Inconsequential dharmas, even understanding falls away instantly, so nothing worth having so much attachment for, but it arises, it's natural, so any time at all.
So important to stress this, that we, from the beginning we understand. That is really Panayati, which is the foundation, and we cannot be without it.
But one can see that Panya has to develop so great that it can know whether sati slip in or whether it's not. So it depends on right understanding only, because there can be moment of doubt instead of strong understanding that it's there.
Just like Panya has to develop so great to know when attachment slips in and slips out. Also,
it has to be it has to be so natural. You explained many times, so natural.
The more natural, the more it's Panya.
Yeah, yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
And we can be sure that it's awareness, because it's a reality that appears, not thinking, no thinking. It's just not hard, just soft.
Sure, but the object appears differently. The same hardness, see, but it appears well, like when sati arises. And if we try really hard, whether it appears well, it's not well. It's not well.
No.
Because ignorance is there, attachment is there, so it cannot appear as well as a tattoo or a reality.
But when we do that, hardness is there, but it's not well.
Because of Panya, it's not great enough. Or there is Panya at that moment, it's just I who try to make it well.
But we do have some awareness and understanding of this
hardness.
That's
why when there is the beginning of understanding Panya as it is there. Not I is there, but Panya is there, which knows.
And I think Panya doesn't mind. It's only attachment and ignorance which minds.
That's the meaning of letting go. Because when there is the idea of trying to understand it, it's not letting go.
And whenever there's thinking about a scenario of when understanding arises or when wrong understanding arises, such as lifting the cup or turning left or right or coming here or not coming here, then it's not understanding of the reality at that moment, because it's a story or trying to imagine what it would be like if understanding arose at such a time instead of just understanding right now.
So from hearing and understanding, is there letting go now? See? The answer must be correct because of Panya. Is there letting go now?
Difficult. it's not in our nature to let go. Our nature's loba, attachment.
So it's quite far apart, attachment and letting go. Because letting go is the function of Panya only.
Yes. very important, yeah.
No letting go now, right? Only when panya is there, high enough to letting go. Even it's attachment, wanting something, it's a... No letting go of seeing, hearing, touching, thinking, wishing, wanting. Because it's a function of panya, the developed panya, from this moment, from each moment.
But we can see how the words, the intellectual understanding, when we hear about the unexpected guest, for example, that intellectual understanding that... Panya has its own conditions for it to arise. That is edging towards allowing Panya to perform its function by itself. So we hear lots of things like that. So Panya arises by conditions. It's unexpected. It cannot be controlled. The results are not for anybody. Mm-hmm. So all of this intellectual understanding is bringing about not bothering mm-hmm. to try to understand it, but allowing panya mm-hmm. to perform the function. And just like seeing, because yeah. seeing performs its function. We don't try to see, we don't try to hear, but it's the same with panya. It has its conditions, mm-hmm. and if we've understood or we've listened, there must be the conditions for panya to arise because of sanya.
Yeah. So panya itself performs the function of detachment from wanting or clinging to have right understanding and awareness.
And that's quite a big leap in confidence, because mm-hmm. we're used to the idea of self doing things, but there has to be that faith yeah. that panya can do that, that it can actually perform that function by itself.
Very firm confidence to be Satyayana.
Mm-hmm. So it's only when understanding develops naturally that mm-hmm. the sadha develops with it, mm-hmm. the confidence develops with it, that
yeah.
it has to be so very natural, even now or any time. No idea of
yeah.
this thinking this way or not thinking this way or... anything other than reality, just as it's conditioned at this moment.
There's another word which springs to mind when I read Dharma or listen to the tapes, and that's, I find it impressive, but there's no impressive Chetasika. That's, I suppose it's a combination, but the Dharma is very impressive when it's understood, the subtlety is understood. Is there an impressive Chetasika? What Chetasika is?
Yeah. And now it's the natural way of panya, which is now developing
mm-hmm.
this moment, from moment to moment. It develops naturally.
And it's easy. It's easier because in the beginning it's difficult because you're trying, so it won't arise. Mm-hmm. So the path must become easy.
So... one can see that the real hindrance to the development of understanding is the idea of I can do or I can try. So when there's the wrong understanding of the path of following a practice or concentrating on an object, this is the hindrance to the development of right understanding naturally.
It is also helpful to know that it is a hindrance. That's really very good.